Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is Wednesday, the day after the big debate from Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, and millions of Americans watched that debate. And I don't think very many people were leaving saying that was a wonderful two-hour experience. And you know, I think about Ephesians chapter 4, where the Lord tells us as believers, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. We are to speak the truth in love. I was preaching last night at Broadmoor Baptist Church in Shreveport, and I mentioned that is our job as Christians, to speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. Well, last night, lots of lies, half-truths were told on both sides, and one side was getting fact-checked to death by the moderators, who are supposed to be fair and impartial. They were anything but. The ABC moderators, David Muir and Lindsay Davis, they fact-checked Trump five times, according to Fox News, zero times for Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, in my opinion, was telling lots of things that weren't true. We're going to talk about some of those today. And it was just one of those things that we really didn't gain a whole lot by this debate. So here to help unpack what happened last night is my good friend Tim Wildman, the president of American Family Association, American Family Radio. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Brother Jeff. So are you in Shreveport or did you drive home?
No, I drove home. I'm in Texarkana.
Oh, where did you watch the debate?
Well, I listened to it in the car driving home, and then when I got home, there was more going on. It was like an everlasting gobstopper from Willy Wonka. It just kept going.
So were you like an hour and a half from Shreveport to?
Yeah, it's about. I had a police officer with me, so we were driving very quickly.
Yeah. Double standard, huh? Rules for thee and
anyway. I let him drive and he can.
I got you. I don't need to know anymore. So yeah, the debate last night, the highly anticipated, maybe the only debate. What do you think?
Well, I was listening to your son on Jenna, and he said he thinks that Trump would be dumb to do another debate. What's the point of that? They're just going to gang up on him. It's not going to be fair. Whether they give Kamala the questions or not, that is, you know, a conspiracy theory that probably has a lot of truth. But I don't see what he gains from it.
No, I don't either. Last night, I was in, trying to be, what is the expression, fair and objective?
Yes.
Obviously, I'm going to vote for Trump, because his views are more aligned with mine. But that being said, so I'll just say that, unlike a lot of these people, right, on TV who won't tell you, act like they're neutral when you know they're flaming liberals. But anyway, so I thought her performance, I'm going to say that word, was very much better, if that's the right expression, was better than I expected.
Yes. Okay.
Because up to now, she's basically, her public appearances like this have been underwhelming. We know she's word salad Harris, right? I mean, yes. She developed a reputation as just being a little bit of an airhead. Can I just say that? Okay. And I developed that reputation a long time ago too, but I think I've overcome that. Hopefully I've overcome that. If I haven't, people haven't told me. So her performance, her personality on stage was a lot better than I think most people expected, because compared to Trump, Trump's been in this situation many, many times. He had all the experience he had on television, and then the debates he's already been in many times. I mean, he's very well versed at how to debate. Trump isn't the same Trump he was in 16. He's 78 years old. He repeats himself over and over and over and over again. And a lot of politicians do, especially when they're giving stump speeches. I think he just winged it last night.
Yes.
And I think that she triggered him. And her team, this is what I think. I think her team that prepared her said, if you'll say this and you'll say that, watch him. He'll get annoyed. He'll get frustrated. He'll start, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I use the word triggered. So I think that did happen a few times along the way. But in the end, I don't. Her substance wasn't much at all. Her performance, yes. Because remember, she has experience herself as a prosecutor in court, and then she was attorney general of the state of California. She's been a senator, so it isn't like she doesn't have public speaking experience. She has a lot of it over her career. So I think her performance was, graded out pretty well. Again, keep in mind that word I'm using, performance. Her content, zero. For him, I think, he could have come out with a lot of challenges to her on some of the things she said that he didn't do it for whatever reason. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what's frustrating, Tim, is you watch something like that and neither candidate answers the questions. I mean, they ask them point-blank questions and they never answer it.
Right. Now, here's where you're right. It was 3-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they fact-checked Trump, you said, 5 times?
Yeah, according to Fox.
Okay, according to Fox. And they didn't fact-check her. And you're right. The candidates are, they know that if they don't want to answer a hard question, they just answer whatever question they want to, however they want to, till they time limits up.
Yeah.
So that's an old trick that all politicians use. But they didn't make, there's a couple of key points that they did not make her answer. And she said, I will answer.
You're right.
One of them, you know, the Republicans are always, in the pro-life side, we're always being pushed into the corner. What about rape? What about incest? What about, a woman doesn't know she's pregnant in 6 weeks. And yeah, we've all heard these, and they want to make us have to answer the difficult questions regarding abortion. Well, the other side, and Trump rightly pointed this out, not all Democrats are this way, but a lot of the Democrats, they don't believe in abortion restrictions at all through 9 months. And yeah. Trump was pointing that, and the lady reporter, what was her name? I forgot her name.
The moderator, Lindsay Davis.
Okay, she to her credit, she did ask Kamala Harris. She said, are you in favor, are there any restrictions on abortion that you will agree to? And remember, she said, I'm going to answer that question, but first I want to say, I think what she said was, I agree with the protections that Roe versus Wade provides. Well, that wasn't the question.
Yeah, right? What are the protections Roe v. Wade provides?
Yes, that wasn't the question. The question is one Democrats, again, not all Democrats are this extreme, but I'll just say this. That's a question she doesn't want to answer.
Right.
Because if she says, yes, I agree that we shouldn't abort babies after 5 months, okay? If she says that, then the left is going to attack her as, you know what I'm saying? Because she wants to put any restrictions at all on abortion, because they truly don't believe in any restrictions at all. They believe in abortion through 9 months. I mean, that's... You listen to them. I mean, that's barbaric, but that's what they believe. And that's why she wouldn't answer that question there.
It's frustrating. I was thinking about a line from John McEnroe, when he got so upset with the line judge, and he said, "Answer the question, jerk." I was thinking, just answer the question.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We want to learn things. We don't want to just hear you repeat the same things. And Trump did that, and she did that too. Although, Tim, I want to play you this clip because I thought it was the funniest snippet of the night from Donald Trump.
I think
Trump.
I know what we got here. You go ahead.
I had no idea how to stop it, and now you have millions of people dead, and it's only getting worse, and it could lead to World War III. Don't kid yourself, David. We're playing with World War III, and we have a president that we don't even know if he's... Where is our president? We don't even know if he's a president.
And just to clarify,
they
here...
They threw him out of a campaign like a dog. We don't even know. Is he our president? But we have a president...
Mr. President...
...that doesn't know he's alive.
Your time is up.
Oh, man, he was wound up. They got him wound up there. I thought you were going to play the one where... The funniest part when Trump said that in Springfield, Ohio, that the Haitian immigrants are eating pets, eating people's pets.
I wouldn't have gone there, but he went there. So
who's that? You talking about Trump?
Yeah.
So you're saying there are places Trump won't go?
Yeah, I think there's nothing off limits for him, but
no. Listen, at least he did answer the question right about her ethnicity. I thought,
yeah.
Remember they asked her, you know, you said she's not black or something to that
right.
effect, and
right.
he said she said that, and then he said, I don't care. Basically, he said, I don't care what color she is. It doesn't matter. Whatever she wants to call herself. So I thought they tried to trap him right there. And then she goes, you try to divide over race. And I was thinking, what did he say that was divisive over race?
Right.
He missed a lot of opportunities last night. And I don't know why exactly to pin her down and to show her record and her double standards. Double standards by meaning she's saying one thing today, and he did try some on fracking and some other things. But remember she tried to pull out the Charlottesville story again?
Right. Yeah.
That, pull that old greatest hits out, you know? She says, well, Charlottesville, you know, you said Nazis were marching, and you said there are good people on both sides. He did defend himself, rightly so, because that was completely and totally taken out of context,
right.
I thought, what he said, if you go back and look exactly what Trump said there. But here's what I would have said when she brought that up. I would have said, weren't you the one who said that Jussie Smollett was a modern-day lynching? Weren't you the one who said that? And because she did. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
She put that out on a tweet that Jussie Smollett, before we even knew any facts at all, about that story, and that story was bogus from the first minute we all heard about it. And Jussie Smollett, the guy who faked the MAGA attack at 2 o'clock in the morning
right.
in Chicago in January when he was coming back from the subway, and they poured. Remember those two MAGA guys popped out from behind the
to get a subway sandwich at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
when it's 30 degrees outside.
Yeah,
or something
so
like
he
that.
So that was the story that he had. Remember. And he was attacked by the two MAGA guys. And you know, there are parts of Chicago that are full of MAGA.
Yeah,
folks,
for sure.
You know? And
yeah.
So they attacked him and poured bleach on him. They were carrying bleach. They knew he was coming to Subway. And he made it home with his sandwich. Remember that? and a noose around his neck when the police mm-hmm. came. He still had his noose around his neck that they put on him, the two MAGA guys did. So she went with that story. And so if I were Trump, I would have brought that up somewhere along the way. But anyway, he didn't.
Well, his best point, Jenna pointed this out just a little bit ago. His best point was the end, where he just said, listen, if you're going to do all these wonderful things, why
yes.
don't you do them now?
Yes.
You've
yes.
had 3.5 years. You hadn't done anything.
Yeah. And in the end, I don't think it moved the needle one way or another for most people. There may be 5% of the public who hasn't made up their minds, but... I think everybody else pretty well has made up their minds who they're going to vote for, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking to my good friend and the president of American Family Association, American Family Radio, Tim Wildman. We're talking about the debate from last night, and it was something. None of us really learned anything about either one of the candidates from last night, but we did watch, and we're going to talk more about it, so don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking to Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, American Family Radio, about the debate last night between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. And Tim, I know you don't have a lot of time to spend with us in this segment, so I want to ask you two questions. And I want you to give me your best take on these two questions. What does it look like in America if President Trump wins in November? And then the second question, what does it look like in America for 4 years if Kamala Harris wins in November?
Okay. Well, you mean like the economy and things like that? Is that what?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the economy, the okay, opportunity we have to preach the gospel without concerns.
Right. Well, okay. So President Trump has a track record, right? As president,
yes.
He has 4 years in office. He did I think most people who are conservatives say Trump did a very good, maybe 4 stars out of 5, right?
Yes.
When he was president, overall on the big issues that faced our country during that time. And he also appointed federal judges across the country, including Supreme Court justices, that were again excellent choices for the most part. So I think, to me, again, I know I'm like a broken record, but I think domestically, at least, that's the most important thing that a president can do, is appoint righteous and judges who respect the Constitution and don't want to make law from the bench. And I think, and again, I've said before, in the hierarchy of the universe, there's God Almighty. And then after that, on planet Earth, way, way, way down here on planet Earth, probably number one is power, is federal judges. They are very, very powerful people. So I think under Trump, I think also the regulations that she will put on businesses, and I mean, well, let me just say this. I know she can't do that alone. She can do some things, but any president, Republican or Democrat, are not going to be able to do very much at all legislatively. I mean, just almost nothing, because we're such a gridlocked Congress in Washington, and that we haven't been able. Remember Obama saying, "I can use my phone and my pen." You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What he was saying was, "I'll just do executive orders because I can't get anything passed in the legislature because the Democrats and Republicans are split almost 50-50. So I do think that's my view. I think I'm not an economist, but I think Trump's business background, he knows we don't need higher taxes. We don't need more regulation. We need to free up the American economy to prosper. It will if it's left unburdened. With her, you know, she's tried to flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
Flip-flop on what? Several issues, right?
Yes, for sure.
She was to the left of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders back when she ran for president, for even just 4 years ago, in many of her policy positions, which she's trying to whitewash now, and so she doesn't sound so extreme. So I don't know how she would do as commander-in-chief. What is her experience on the world stage? Those are just a lot of question marks, and I just don't have a lot of confidence. Of course, I don't agree with her political ideology to begin with, but her lack of proven experience. I mean, she's border czar, and that's been horrible.
Is it disaster?
Yeah. So, what has she really accomplished? I think, quite frankly, I know this is superficial, but I think her vote comes from people who have Trump fatigue more than anything else. I think her vote comes from people. She appeals to people who they don't have a political ideology necessarily, although they may be liberal. A lot of them are liberal, but a lot of people maybe in the middle go, you know what? I want somebody younger. I want somebody fresher. I'm tired of hearing Trump talk. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's a lot of the vote. That's where a lot of the voters are.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And Trump is bombastic. I mean, we all know that. He's egotistical. And he's, you know, he's maybe a decent debater. I agree with you, Tim, that he's not the candidate he was in 2016.
Well, he's 78 years old now.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, so Father Time waits on no man, as they say. Yeah. So, you know, he's still sharper than most 78-year-olds, I would say.
Sure. But yeah, he's got a lot of energy.
He takes a licking and keeps on ticking, as they say. But he's not the same man he was 8 years ago, and it shows.
Well, you know, you think about how well J.D. Vance would have done in that debate last night. You think about how well DeSantis would have done. And, you know, DeSantis doesn't have all the baggage that Trump does, although the left would hate DeSantis just like they hate Trump.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that's a younger, fresher candidate who stands his ground. I mean, he's Trump without all the egotism.
Trump has egotism? You're a very discerning person.
Yeah, I picked up on that.
Governor DeSantis, Ron DeSantis of Florida, I'm a big fan. And he'll have his day, I think, maybe down the road. But when the left started indicting Trump back in the spring of whenever it was, 2 years ago, and the everybody just rallied around Trump, and understandably, because they saw the lawfare being taken up against the former president. Not that he wouldn't have won anyway, but it was from that moment that Alvin Bragg indicted him that he separated himself from DeSantis and everybody else in the field. So. Anyway, so we'll see what happens, Jeff. We got this election can't get here soon enough as far as most people are concerned.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Tim, thanks for coming on today. I always appreciate it.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we didn't learn about Harris's positions on things. She didn't really express her policy. As I mentioned, you know, the famous quote from Johnny McEnroe when he was so frustrated with a line judge. Answer the question, jerk. Take the jerk out. But with both candidates, it's like, answer the question. That's what people want to know is, well, what about this? Just answer the question directly. And, you know, if a politician doesn't want to answer a question, they just won't answer. Tim Walz has been asked repeatedly about his family voting for Trump and about his blatant lies about his service in the National Guard and other things. I heard just the other day that he said he was very close to earning a PhD. He just makes this stuff up. And so when they ask him about it, he just doesn't answer. He acts like he can't hear them. I forget who it was. It was somebody, Sean Hannity or somebody, that said, hey, we need to send Tim Walz some hearing aids. No, it was Mike Huckabee that said that. We need to send him some hearing aids because he's obviously doesn't appear to be hearing these questions because he doesn't answer the question. And I don't know how you answer that stuff when you blatantly lie for years about your military record. The campaign said, well, he misremembered. Oh, good night. He just flat lied through his teeth and then he got caught. But and going back to Kamala Harris and her positions, you know, Trump mentioned last night that she has flip-flopped. She acts now like she's going to be tough on crime and for fracking and these other issues that she came out very strongly against. Well, here was an interview or a CNN piece of all news stations, CNN, talking about Harris's positions. This is in 2019 when she was a senator. This is very telling.
For the first time on her campaign website, a K-File investigation has uncovered, meantime, a 2019 questionnaire. And in this questionnaire, Harris laid out some much more liberal stances, among them on immigration. So in 2019, in what K-File found, she said she would cut funding to ICE, writing, quote, "Our immigrant detention system is out of control, and I believe we must end the unfair incarceration of thousands of individuals, families, and children. I was one of the first senators after President Trump was elected to advocate for a decrease in funding to ICE." Well, now, of course, she's touting the Biden administration's executive order to crack down on the border. K-File's Andrew Kaczynski joins me now. Andrew, that's pretty incredible on its own when you're talking about what you found here on ICE. What else did you find?
Yeah, and this was a questionnaire that she filled out for the ACLU. And this questionnaire is really an interesting snapshot in time of that 2019 Democratic primary. Kamala Harris was trying to get to the left of Bernie Sanders. She was trying to get to the left of Elizabeth Warren. And you really see that in a lot of these answers. And I want to walk our viewers through a little bit of what she said. Let's just take immigration and look at what she said here. She said on immigration, she made this open-ended pledge to end immigrant detention. She said she supported taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained migrants. She also said she supported
taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained migrants.
She
actually said she supported that.
She wrote, both wrote and answered in the affirmative when she was asked this. Oh. And she said she also supported it for federal prisoners. Now, she also pledged to slash immigration detention by 50%, close all family and private facilities, and decrease funding for ICE, and then to end ICE detainers with local law enforcement.
I mean, these are things that, you know, it would be hard to think that you would come up with taxpayer mm-hmm. funding gender transitions for detained migrants. And yet this, as you say, written and verbally, mm-hmm. You know, what else, you know, did you find?
Well, let's take a look at her answer here on drugs. She got asked about, you know, this, the question from the ACLU was, since drug use is better addressed as a public health issue through treatment and other programming, will you support the decriminalization at the federal level of all drug possession for personal use? And Harris answers yes. Now, what would that mean? Well, it mean the federal all drug possession, that's not just marijuana, which she alluded to in her answer to this question, but it also would mean,
yes, you know, federal level of all drug possession,
fentanyl, crack, you know, yes, cocaine, things like that. Yeah.
Have they responded to you on her changes on these issues?
So we did put this question to the Harris campaign about the entire ACLU questionnaire, and the Harris campaign didn't answer any questions from CNN. Instead, they just provided a statement from an unnamed Harris campaign advisor that just said the vice president's positions have been shaped by 3 years of effective governance as part of the Biden-Harris administration. Now, they declined to CNN to elaborate on what those positions were. And then they also provided this statement, which they attributed to a spokesperson saying, as president, she will take that same pragmatic approach, focusing on common sense solutions for the sake of progress. So where does she stand on this all this questionnaire today? We don't know, and they won't say.
It's pretty incredible stuff. And thank you very much, Andrew K-File, for this reporting.
That was from CNN. Not a friend of Donald Trump, not a friend of conservative views, but they were actually reporting honestly about the flip-flopping of Kamala Harris. And she was asked about her core values, and her core values, she said, have not changed. But obviously, she just blows with the wind. And hey, I'm going to be the most left-leaning liberal in the Senate. That was what she was touted as. And then she's trying to distance herself from that. Oh, that's what Mike Pence called me. And it's like, no, that's what this independent group called you, the most liberal senator, when she was running with Joe Biden in 2020. So that's the situation that we have. We have two candidates, couldn't be more different. We have two visions for America that couldn't be more different. You know, Trump did bring up last night that Kamala Harris's father is a communist. He was teaching communism in the university, and that's where she was influenced, no doubt. And if America goes the way, and Donald Trump brought this up last night. If we vote for Kamala Harris, it's not long before we're going to be Venezuela on steroids. And so we would be so foolish to say that's the direction we want to go. That'll be a disaster for every single one of us. Hey, we're all on the same ship, the USS America. And if we start taking on massive amounts of water and the ship starts going down, first class doesn't escape that. The whole thing goes down. And maybe a better illustration is we're all on an airplane called the plane called America. If the thing goes down, first class doesn't escape that. The whole thing goes down. And so we need to keep that in mind. As Barack Obama said so many years ago, elections matter. And we need to remember that. Elections do matter. Your vote matters. Rick Scarborough, we played a clip from him during the break, American Family Radio did. And he said, it's not an option to not vote. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But just as it's bad to not vote, it's even worse to vote wrongly and to vote half-cocked, not know the issues, not know what the candidates stand for, not know where your vote is going to lead. We need to do our homework. We need to be like the men of Issachar, men who understood the times and what Israel should do. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the debate. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment on what took place last night, that seems to be on everybody's mind since millions and millions and millions tuned in last night. And as Walker Wildman said, you know, that wasn't a great use of 2 hours that we can't get back now. But it was important that we were informed of what the candidates said and what took place on that debate stage. So give me a call, 888-589-8840, and I'd love to hear from you concerning last night. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the debate from last night between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. And I agree with Jenna Ellis. I was listening to her program as I was driving in. I think Kamala Harris did a good job as far as what she had to do. She came across well. She didn't cackle. She kept that in check. And she didn't, as Tim Wildman said earlier, she didn't come across as a ditz necessarily. She's not telling the truth. Trump got some facts wrong. You know, he talked about Governor Northam, Ralph Northam from Virginia, and he was advocating for killing the baby even after it's born. And they said, well, there's no state that does that. Well, maybe there's no state that does that, but he was advocating for it, and he was the governor of Virginia. And there are others in the pro-abortion, pro-murder crowd that say, hey, we ought to be able to murder the baby at any time. During the pregnancy and even after the pregnancy. And so that's not this wild notion that he just made up. That is true, and they're wanting that. I would have called out Kamala Harris. Now, I have convictions about abortion that Donald Trump obviously doesn't have, but when they asked the question about abortion, I would have clearly said abortion is murder. Life begins at conception, and anything you do to that baby to end that baby's life and the brutal ending of the baby's life by dismemberment, that is murder, and it's murder in the worst degree. And this idea that it's my body, it's my choice, it's not your body. It's a separate body inside your body that's going to be there until it comes to term, this baby, he or she comes to term, and then it's going to exit your body. The baby will exit your body. And so I wish we had a politician that would just stand up and speak the truth and call out the abortionists for murdering infants in the womb. This isn't a lump of cells. If you've looked and seen the products of abortion, they rip an arm off, they rip a leg off, they rip the torso out, they crush the skull, and they pull out the baby, and they put it in a dish. And how do they know they have it all? Because they piece the baby back together. It is gruesome. It is horrible. It is awful. And it needs to stop. There needs to be a federal ban on all abortion that would cover all the states, because abortion is murder. Commandment number 6, you shall not murder. And we don't have a politician who will stand up and speak up like that, but that's what is needed today in the discussion on abortion. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Troy on the line from Louisiana. Troy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Jeff. How you doing today?
Doing good. Troy, how are you?
I was calling to just make a comment that I hear people say that they trust the American people to make the right choice. Jeff, I'm sorry, I don't. I think we have become a stupid people. I'm sorry to say that, but I used to be the one that believed that America is going to ride the ship. I don't believe that anymore. Mm-hmm. When you hear people say that they're going to vote for her, it doesn't matter if she was a dog running. Mm-hmm. As long as she running to get Donald Trump, you're going to vote for the dog. You know, really, I'm just like, we are about to blow the greatest gift God ever gave man, is this country. And if people don't wake up, I'm sorry, you hadn't felt enough pain yet. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only way it's going to change, is people haven't felt enough pain. And believe me, voting for the Democratic Party, you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's a good word, Troy. My guest from Monday, Gary Frazier, he said the same thing, Troy. He said that he hates to say this, but the American people are stupid. They're not doing their homework. They're not. When you hear the interviews that are done on college campuses asking questions about things, they're clueless. And they just parrot back what they hear on CNN or wherever, some liberal news outlet. And, all the riots that we had on the college campuses and the sit-ins, and we're for, gays for Palestine, that kind of thinking, where Benjamin Netanyahu said that's so ridiculous. That's like saying chickens for KFC. The Palestinians, those people that control Gaza, Hamas, they would kill you if you're a gay there. and you're going to be for that regime, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's just somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. It's kind of, you know, they did the same thing to Joe Biden when he was making phone calls at Christmas time. This was a few years ago, and somebody said, "Way to go, Brandon." And Joe was like, "Yeah, that's right. Way to go, Brandon." And clueless that they were making fun of him. And, you know, it's just a sad state of affairs. That's why we go back to the passage in Chronicles, that we need to be like the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times and what Israel should do. You don't get extra credit for being an ignoramus. If you don't know something, it's okay to not know, but you can't stay in the state of not knowing. You need to find these things out. You need to research the candidates, find out what they've said, what they really believe, and then look at their record. How have they done in power? What did they do? How did they lead? As Tim Wildman said, you know, Kamala Harris was given the assignment of controlling the border. And so let's judge her based on her actions and her resume in the actual job. Well, she did a terrible job. She didn't even go to the border. And they asked her in that interview, "Hey, have you been to the border?" "We've been to the border." He said, "Well, have you been to the border?" She said, I haven't been to the border. I haven't been to Europe. What does that mean?" You know, and she begins the laugh and the cackle. I don't understand what you mean by that. Well, good night. If you're given the oversight of a big problem and you're the border czar, the very first thing you would do is go there and see for yourself what's going on. That's like leadership 101. But she doesn't want to do that. She loves the title Border Czar until it blows up in her face. And then they're like, "Oh, I never was the Border Czar. Why are you calling me the Border Czar? I wasn't the Border Czar." And then the memo goes out to all the liberal media sources. "Well, she was never the Border Czar, never the Border Czar." And then somebody shows the clip from one of the liberal media sources just a few years ago that calls her the Border Czar. So you can't have it both ways. And I appreciate you calling in with that comment, Troy. So we need to pray as Christians that God would enlighten blind eyes, because there are a lot of blind eyes today. Well, we have Monty on the line from Virginia. Monty, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Virginia, Monty, welcome. Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I'm trying to say my thoughts in simple sentences. I've been bipolar for about 50 years, and I'm blessed with pretty much having been treated and taken care of. But I just wanted to comment that we as Christians really have one choice, and that's to put a person that he has sexual sin, he has many faults like we all do, but Donald Trump has not only the best interests of the people in the United States, but he has a world plan to help solve the mysteries that war will constantly go on in this world. But until you adhere to Christian principles, I mean, that bullet grazing his ear woke him up a little bit, and he's blaming, when I say that, he's blaming the devil or Satan for putting that kid on the roof, which is true. There's no good in taking life, and I'm a strong proponent of, you know, when you talk about abortion, there is no choice. It's murder, and we know that in the Ten Commandments. And it's really simple to say. I'd hate to tell people that I have 35 years of marriage. Even if my wife got raped, I would still ask her to keep the baby, because the sex is the crime because of the nature of what happened. It's not what God would do to take a child's life. And, you know, Donald Trump, in the first 3 years of his presidency, went through terrible scrutiny about Russian collusion, the Steele dossier, Hillary Clinton. He could have put her in jail. He could have put a number of other people in jail. But, you know, Jeff, we as Christians, we are faced with artificial intelligence. This does not allow us face-to-face conversations to work out differences. And I know it takes a third party most of the time to work out a marriage or divorce if they ever get back together. And Jeff, your program is wonderful. I thank people for letting me express my opinion. And people in color, Virginia, are just wonderful people. But we're overrun by millions of people that have no idea what America was based on Christian principles. And just thank you for what you do every day.
Yeah, thank you, Monty. You're exactly right. I appreciate you listening to the program. Appreciate you calling in and sharing. And we can't just be in the dark and think that it doesn't matter. We can just pull the lever or punch the button or vote for this person because we like their name. As far as, well, that sounds good. And so many people go into the polling booth, they don't know they're voting between two people that have no idea what they stand for. And we need to do our homework before we vote. And we need to vote for which candidate is going to help the masses. And Trump, when he was president, he helped the masses. He didn't help himself. He lost a lot of money being president, whereas so many on the left, they get into office and they leave office multi-millionaires. And how does that happen? Well, it doesn't happen from the government stipend that you get, because it's not very very sizable. But Trump didn't even take anything. I think, what, he got paid a dollar or nothing or something like that. I mean, he didn't take any money from being president. He was just there for the people. So I appreciate you calling in. Jim from South Dakota. Jim, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
I want to thank you for what you do. Your messages are timely, and I get the right message when I need it.
Thank you.
For some strange reason. It's a God thing. That's all I got to say. But point I'm calling in, I was pointed to a video. It was called Silent Scream. It was produced in the early 80s. And I feel it should be mandatory viewing in all high schools and churches. They actually show an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
A full-fledged, whatever the proper term for an abortion is, 25-minute video. I made it 16 minutes into the video before I couldn't watch it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that graphic. And I feel that if some of these high schoolers and the teenagers saw this, of what a baby went through in an abortion, you wouldn't have an abortion issue in this country.
Mm, that's a good point.
Because everybody be like, oh, heck no.
Right. Great point, Jim. Yeah, and, you know, Abby Johnson's movie Unplanned was similar to that. You know, she told her story in the movie. She ran an abortion clinic there in College Station, and when she had to participate in an abortion, somebody didn't show up, and she had to be there helping the doctor, and she saw what actually happened in that room. It just shook her to the core, and she is a strong, strong advocate for pro-life positions and values because of that. And so it's horrific. It is grotesque. It is barbaric. And we're doing that by the millions of as we rip unborn babies apart under the heading of reproductive rights. That sounds so good, a whole lot better than murdering an unborn child by dismemberment. You talk about trauma. Kamala Harris was talking about the trauma of a woman who has this unwanted pregnancy. Well, how about the trauma of ripping your arms off, your legs off, and crushing your skull? That's pretty traumatic. And that the idea that a woman can do that and it's not going to affect her, that's ridiculous. It will affect her. Now, she can try and through drugs and alcohol drown that out. But the fact of the matter is, unless she comes to Christ and receives forgiveness, she is going to be plagued by guilt for what she did. She knows what she did. Her conscience will condemn her for what she did. And we have the message to share with the world that no matter what you've done, you can come to Jesus and his blood will wash you white as snow. But you have to come openly, honestly, contritely, repentantly to say, Lord, I have sinned. Please forgive me. And he will. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get to Scott or Terry, but I appreciate you guys calling in. And you can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at FromHisHeart.org. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. It is always a pleasure to be with you. Rick Scarborough is going to be my guest tomorrow, as he's going to be here for the Pastor's Summit, and so you don't want to miss him. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.